Journalist Jad Sliman of National Public Radio interviewed risk communication expert Peter M. Sandman on March 8, 2021, on public health messaging that aims to persuade the audience at the expense of truth, some examples from COVID-19 and earlier. This is Segment 9, The Public's Trust in Science, Scientists' Trust in the Public. For the other segments, the complete hour and 45-minute interview, or other content on risk communication, go to www.psandman.com.
I had the thought that, like, as I was pitching this, I thought, you know, this is a once-in-a-century pandemic, like, people are confronted by science. Like, I noticed sort of, like, early in the pandemic, like, CNN's ratings, like, shot through the roof, because I think even people who are, like, kind of, maybe they're politically conservative, they like what they hear on Fox News. Like they sort of, I think people recognize like, oh, I have to confront like the science. I can't kind of ignore this. And so people kind of gravitated towards science as an authority. So that, you know, that's just one example. People watching like CNN instead of Fox. But it seems like there is a reality where like the public could have come out more trusting of science after this pandemic if like, cause everyone has to confront, you know, the work of science and the consequence of science when you're waiting on vaccines and tests and everything. Like that world seems like a possibility that this could have changed trust in science in a positive way, and it hasn't. I mean, what do you think is sort of like the long, my particular opinion is I think people are going to come out of this trusting science a lot less. And I wonder if you think that's the case and if you think that was like unavoidable.
You know, I don't know the answer. I mean, on the one hand, science brought us vaccines. And science brought us vaccines way quicker than science thought it could. I think it's quite possible that people are going to come out of this trusting the ability of science to pull rabbits out of hats more than they used to. And trust, you know, vaccine, you know, I mean, if the vaccines put an end to the pandemic, which I think is likelier than not. I mean, eventually the pandemic was going to end anyhow. Either the virus would vitiate and, you know, get less severe or people would develop resistance to it because they'd all been infected. I mean, pandemics don't last forever, even without a vaccine. So, you know, but if people wind up concluding rightly that thank God for science, it gave us vaccines and ended this horrible year-long experience we went through, they may well wind up trusting science more than ever before. Or they may say, you know, they may notice that all the ways in which science has been dishonest and wind up mistrusting science. And I have to tell you, you know, when I write columns about how science has been dishonest, and when I give webinars about how science has been dishonest, invariably somebody will come up to me afterwards and say, all right, you're right, but why on earth would you want to keep saying this when the public is listening? You know, you're saying because we lie, they're going to mistrust us. And you're telling everybody we're lying. Why don't you at least minimize the mistrust by shutting up? I think that's a fair question. You know, I mean, my conviction that public health dishonesty leads to mistrust is certainly exacerbated by my continuing to talk to people like you about how dishonest public health has been.
But I mean, you were talking about this way before, like I'm thinking about this in the lens of just how much powerful, even like state-sponsored disinformation is out there. Like that's what kind of piqued my interest in this is anytime there's something that's, you know, there's kind of a hole in something public health is saying or something's fuzzy. Somebody can come in here, a bad faith actor can come in and say, look, they, you know, they lied about this. Masks don't work. Social distancing doesn't work. And I saw that pitfall, but you saw a pitfall of dishonesty even before we had this kind of supercharged disinformation environment.
Yes. But if I stand way back, okay, then I have to say, that trust is not sustainable as a rule anyhow, because when you are trusted and you notice you are trusted, you tend to abuse the trust. It's it's a very short-term thing to say, ideally, public health would tell the truth, and the whole truth would be completely candid. People would get over their adjustment reaction because they don't like people, they don't like public health being completely candid, and they would get used to it, and they would trust public health more. That's my argument. But what happens, assuming I'm right, and public health gets really candid and people trust it more, okay? Then public health people start noticing, we're really trusted. We can afford to take shortcuts. We can afford to say things that aren't entirely true because, you know, we're so trusted, nobody's going to question us. So I think trust is difficult to sustain because it leads to untrustworthy behavior. So the main point I have made to clients is you need to be trusted, trustworthy, but don't expect to be trusted. Don't ask to be trusted. Don't want to be trusted. What you should want to be is accountable. So, you know, my judgment is more than trust, what we need is accountability. And what we need in order to get accountability is more muckraking, more investigative reporting, more skepticism, more people who are saying, I'm going to listen to the anti-vaxxers and I'm going to listen to the pro-vaxxers and I'm going to try to figure out what's true based on going down the rabbit hole with both. I'm not going to trust one side. I'm not going to trust the other side. I don't believe anybody's trustworthy. I'm going to try and figure out where the truth lies. And that's more sustainable, but that's asking a great deal of the public. My short-term argument, well, this goes in layers. Let me see if I can say it get all the layers. In the very short term, quite often lying works better than telling the truth. You know, you don't get caught and you can say something that's clearer and that's not, you know, that people are willing to listen to, and it's oversimplified and it's exaggerated, but it's more effective in the very short term. In the middle term, in the midterm, if you do that, I think people sort of catch on. They either learn it, they find out things you pretended weren't so, it's not sustainable, or they smell a rat even if they don't actually learn the truth, they sense the truth, and they begin to distrust you. So in the midterm, you know, dishonesty isn't sustainable, you would be better off being honest. In the long term, it's a cycle. Because if you are honest, you will be trusted. And if you are trusted, you will get dishonest. And then you will be mistrusted. And then you will get honest. And then you will be trusted. And then you will get dishonest again.
Wow. There's something in here about how power corrupts. This is
yes,
such a complicated problem. But wow. I think I've gone like way over our time.
I don't know what you're going to do with a 2-hour tape, but you know, somewhere in there is a segment, I think.
It'll be distilled into like a 15-minute thing. That's sort of how it goes, though. It's because I go into these stories like a complete layperson, so half of it is just sort of educating myself, and then from there I have to cut up a story. But those are all my questions, and it seems like this is sort of more. I don't know. I can sort of see both sides to it. I think.
Yay! That's what I want. You know, I mean, that's what I want science to do. So it's what I want to do when I talk to a reporter.
Yeah. Well, okay. I'm gonna keep talking to people, and I'll probably reach back to you for just some more kind of clarifying things, or if I want to fact check something. But I really do appreciate you taking the time to have this long-winded conversation with me.
Is a 2-minute summary useful, or is that unnecessary?
If you'd like to, yeah, go for it.
Let me make an effort.
All right.
The most important thing to bear in mind, it seems to me, is that public health routinely overstates what it knows, oversimplifies what it knows. It allows itself to say misleading things, and even when in extremis, lies, outright lies, in the interests of getting the public to do what public health people think is the most healthy thing. Their motives are pure, and because of their pure motives, they feel okay about being less than perfectly honest, and sometimes far less than perfectly honest. there, you know, that's obviously a foolish thing to do. If perfectly honest would work just as well. But sometimes I think, at least in the short term, they're right. And perfectly honest would be less persuasive than the cherry-picked data, oversimplified, misleading version of the truth that they give the public. So I think they are being dishonest with a real short-term effect. I think they are saving lives by misleading us all, at least in the short term. In the longer term, maybe we catch on, maybe we learn they can't be trusted, and maybe we stop listening to them altogether. So it's possible in the longer term, it's my argument in the longer term, that the lives they save by misleading us are not worth it because their credibility is at stake, and they should be honest even at the cost of their campaigns being less effective. That's my argument, and they don't agree. And their argument is, in the short term, we save lives, and in the long term, we get away with it most of the time because reporters don't want to catch us. And when they catch us, they don't want to expose us. And when they expose us, the public readily forgives us. So maybe you're right, Sandman, that corporations should learn to be more honest. But public health, if it were more honest, would see a higher death toll. And we're not going to do that.
But do you think, and maybe I should talk to another expert about this, someone who just studies disinformation. Like, even if us reporters don't keep them honest, and even if we do, and then no one cares and they get forgiven, like, I wonder if you think, like, just the threat of disinformation will keep them honest. Like, just the way in which, you know, bad actors, this is sort of a newer thing, I guess, the way in which bad actors can latch onto imperfections or kind of slight, like, message shaping or misleading bits of public health in order to mount massive disinformation. Do you think that could be like an enforcement incentive?
Yeah, I used to think so. And I used to at least hope so, that, you know, I mean, the easiest way to find out the pieces of the truth that public health isn't looking at, or let's take vaccination, for example, the easiest way to find out the small percentage of the truth that's genuinely anti-vax is to read anti-vax websites. And you have to wade through a lot of falsehood, but you'll also find the little pieces of truth that public health is pretending don't exist. So I used to think those little pieces of truth in the anti-vax messaging would push public health to be more honest. It hasn't happened. Instead, it's pushed public health to demand that social media take those websites down.